Welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We're a comedic, social, and current events podcast where we give you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today. Kind of giving you a look inside the inner conclave of nerddom, and we're here to take over the world with our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire.
Hail?
Anyone? Hail? Hydra?
No? I gave you a hail.
Cool. Thank you. We give this podcast to you free every week on currentlynerdy.com and on iTunes. Sorry if you just did the Hydra.
Is there anything less intimidating than the Hydra salute, though, like the two arms in the air? They look like a goddamn Harvest Crusade Christian concert.
They look like kids trying to put on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Anyways.
You can tell kids to, like, put their hands up. I know, yeah. They don't know how to rate. Like, they don't open their hands. They close their fists for some weird reason.
When they put on a t-shirt? Yeah. We get this podcast to you free every week on currentlynerdy.com and on iTunes, so please feel free to rate, review, subscribe, and share our podcast to all your friends, family members, and loved ones, because you don't love someone until you have spread the disease that is Currently Nerdy.
Yeah, wow, that's...
Hallelujah. Holla back, little homie.
No, you're not getting any of
this. Amen.
Nasty.
We are your hosts of this illustrious, magnificent, disease-ridden podcast. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture slash sports nerd, which means I could tell you that Dennis Seaver is out of UFC 199 versus BJ Penn, and what else? What's pop culture-y?
Isn't there was a boxing match recently?
Oh, yes. Amir Khan.
He lost.
The pride of Pakistan.
He lost.
Got knocked out
by Canelo.
By Blake Griffin.
Canelo.
He does kind of look like Blake Griffin slightly. I got that illusion. Yeah. I actually got it.
Yeah. Hey,
good for you.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
I like Amir Khan too. He's got good hand speed.
Yeah, but he moved up three weight classes. And now to the man that will teach you the background and all the stuff that will make you sad. Ali, take it away.
Oh, thanks.
It's actually true.
I am Ali Alomi. I am the classic nerd of the group, which means that I was nerdy before nerdy suddenly became cool. I like to bring you information about politics, the background, topics, about what we discuss, that type of stuff. V?
Greetings, friends. This is V-Tran, your miscellaneous nerd. I cover all things like travel, comic books, movies, et cetera, et cetera. All things that Ali and Diz do not.
Guys, I'm going to give a warning to all our listeners now.
Spoiler alert! Super spoiler alert.
Super spoiler!
Because we're going to be talking about GOT.
Yeah. And
CW.
And CW.
Not the CW.
Not the CW shows that I watch every Friday night. Vampire Diaries, shout out to you, Team Damon.
And you're there on Friday. You're at home on Friday nights watching CW shows?
No, I DVR them and watch them.
He watches them as he tinders.
Yeah. I don't tinder anymore. Remember, we discussed that.
I doubt that it's you've held out for this long.
You want to check my phone?
I'll test it in a month.
All right.
I'll test it in a month and you've forgotten.
It's already been a month.
I like how you use the word tested, too. I'm gonna test.
Yeah, but yeah, we're going to give you all...
Give me your urethra.
We're going to give you all the spoilers today. All of the spoilers.
You know no one can see you holding that tool,
No,
right?
No one does.
Randomly yell, give me your urethra.
It was even creepier because they just heard, give me urethra. They didn't see me raise a small glass screw.
Yeah.
Like a syringe almost. But yeah, all the spoilers.
They do sex to STD tests.
So
they put that little Q-tip thingy.
We're talking about penises right now.
You weren't the one that brought it up, oddly enough.
But I named... this episode of Game of Thrones.
Episode Cockblock.
Episode Cockblock. Episode 3, Oathbreaker, a.k.a. Episode 3, Cockblock.
With legit reason. So it showed the Tower of Joy scene.
Yeah.
And then it turned away at the last minute.
It's bullshit.
They were really milking that shit because this was the opportunity where we were going to find R plus J. What are your thoughts? You guys think that it will be R plus J?
R plus L equals J?
R plus L equals J.
What did I say?
R plus J.
J.
Yeah.
That's just weird. Yeah. That's incestuous and weird.
It's also not out of character for the writers of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. R plus L equals J, you think it's going to happen? Do you think this is it?
I think it's it, bro.
But I think if it is, it's going to be a surprise. I think we're going to find out that it wasn't a matter of Rhaegar and Lyanna ran off together, but that she was raped by Rhaegar.
Oh, so
and the baby is a rape baby.
Oh, we're gonna go with that theory.
I'm just throwing it out there because I'm saying that this is a show that really enjoys making good characters have big flaws.
Mm.
So we found out in this scene that Ned Stark actually didn't. The stories aren't fully true, and he technically broke an oath.
Yeah,
yeah, he broke an oath.
How so?
He's fighting against his king.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, well...
The he's a rebellion.
Wait, who was the one that ended up stabbing him in the back?
Howland Reed.
Howland Reed.
Mira's dad.
Mira's dad. And there's a theory that Howland Reed is actually...
The Sparrow?
The Sparrow. Come back to get revenge for the Starks. This is the problem with Game of Thrones, right? Game of Thrones is built off of history.
Yeah.
Right? Game of Thrones returns to the epic fantasy tradition of history writing, right? Mm-hmm. Creating big worlds, big, you know, world building, big stories and legends and playing around with them. But as a result, because there's so many little tiny details involved in it, that it'll, and because George R. R. Martin doesn't write, you know, once every century or so, as a result, his fans end up creating all sorts of theories.
Yeah, yeah.
There's more theories about this than there are, I think, in any other...
Star Wars?
Star Wars is the closest thing I can think about. But the problem with Star Wars is that even with... Star Wars has a singular narrative.
That's true.
Even
yeah,
if there's like side stories and other characters, there
it
is
all kind of ends up in the same spot.
There is a
spot,
singular
yeah.
narrative, right?
Yeah.
Game of Thrones does not.
It's the Skywalker. It's,
we
opera.
Sure as hell know it's not the story of the fucking Starks.
Nope.
Fucking shit on the Starks left and right is what it should be called.
Well, I think it's the story of Jon Snow. Let's say Rhaegar and Lyanna.
You think it's legit?
No, no. Let's say
you think that it's actually a love baby.
No, no, no. Okay, let's say it was a love baby, right? Okay, they got married, whatever. So they killed.
I'm just saying
they killed Aerys, the Mad King. Then they killed Rhaegar, right?
No, they killed Rhaegar first.
They killed Rhaegar first.
Yeah, he died at the Battle of the Trident.
Ah.
And then they went on to King's Landing and
killed.
If they didn't kill him, technically the King's Landing. Yeah, King's stabbed him in the back.
Okay, but
that's Robert Baratheon.
No, Kingslayer is a Jaime.
Jamie Bradley.
Jamie Lannister was a Kingsguard.
Jamie Lannister. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Who's supposed to protect the king.
Yeah.
And the king was gone crazy. At that, the king was like, bring me your fathers at Tywin Lannister. And so Jamie stabbed him in the back. And that's why he's known as Kingslayer.
Okay.
Robert Baratheon is not Kingslayer.
So how did Baratheon get become
Baratheon
king?
Takes the throne. When he arrives, he takes the throne. He
yeah.
sees it.
He
Kingslayer can't take the throne. He's just a guard.
Yeah.
He's a Kingsguard. But Robert Baratheon is the leader of the rebellion.
Yeah, because they...
It's called Robert's Rebellion.
Yeah. Because they stole his bride-to-be. Or, yeah, whatever.
There's two reasons for the rebellion. First, Ned Stark's father and older brother were murdered.
By?
By the Mad King.
Aerys?
Aerys Targaryen set him on fire and killed him. They burned alive. No one did anything. And that started the kind of the beginnings of the rebellion. People started to rally. And then, to make matters worse, Rhaegar ran off with Lyanna. Now, no one knows if it's a mutual love thing or if it's if he raped her.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the theory has so far been, the story indicates rape.
Yeah.
Robert Baratheon hates him. He keeps going, for what he did to your sister. Because she was supposed to marry Robert.
Oh, yeah. And he's in love with
he's
Lyanna.
He's madly in love with the idea of Lyanna.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I don't know. It may end up that it was a love marriage. It may end up not, but...
Here's the question I was asking. If it was a love marriage, would that make Jon Snow the heir to the throne?
Yeah.
It would.
He would be a legitimate heir.
He's because... No,
even though Rhaegar had another...
they killed him.
Child.
But they killed that
child.
Yeah,
three. No. Yeah, they killed the babies, yeah.
Yeah. And they killed Ilya Martell, too.
Killed Ilya Martell, which is his wife.
Whose wife? Aerys?
Rhaegar's. But the Targaryens were known for having like multiple wives, multiple partners, marrying sister and brother. So it's like it's okay.
Okay.
And then bastards with them are different.
Okay. And they also killed things.
Even though it gets complicated. There's a whole Blackfyre thing.
There's Daenerys.
Daenerys is the daughter of the Mad King.
Yeah. So
she's sister of
Rhaegar.
Rhaegar.
So In
Game of Thrones world, in Westeros, if Jon Snow is R plus L, then he has claim over Daenerys.
He has claim. Okay, that's what I want to know.
Daenerys only has claim via Dorne's inheritance ability rights. Dorne is the only place that a woman can inherit before a man can. It's not patrilineal.
Oh, what does that mean?
Patrilineal means only through the father son.
Okay. It is. Not in Dorne, though.
Not in Dorne. Dorne, a woman can inherit.
Okay.
Yeah. But in fact, if there's an older sister, she inherits first.
Ah. Yeah. I didn't know that.
That's cool. Targaryens are the most of Westeros patrilineal, so it goes to Jon Snow over
Daenerys. Stormborn.
Yeah. This is made even more complicated by the fact that in the books, there's actually another Targaryen.
Which one is this?
This is a... people think it may be a fake Targaryen, but it's believed to be the son of Rhaegar that Varys may have snuck out. So the baby that the mountain smashed his head may have been a fake baby, not a Targaryen.
Okay,
but it was raised because in the books there is another Targaryen.
Supposedly,
yeah, there's another Targaryen that's also so. There's two. There's Daenerys and this guy who is supposedly of young Griff. But it looks like the show is not going to go into that.
No. Probably not. Yeah, they're just going to go with the Jon Snow and the
Jon Snow, Danny route, probably.
Yeah. Now, this episode, I didn't like it. I didn't hate it.
I'm really kind of exhausted with it, to be honest with you personally.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's highlighting, I guess, maybe because it's. We're now entering into the realm where they're not being guided by George R. R. Martin. I should be clear. I'm not a book purist. In fact, I don't think George R. R. Martin is as good a writer as people think he is. He's not. He's kind of overrated.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually, I don't think he knows what he's doing. I think he's just making it up.
No, he's shit.
Think, though, he is better than the showrunners.
Yeah.
This season has really highlighted for me how bad the showrunners are at writing.
Well, it kind of shows the difference between someone who writes books and someone who writes for shows also.
They rely on this kind of show. Like, for me, I was not comfortable with the... zoning in on Ollie's face.
Yeah, see, that didn't make much sense to me, right? Because it's
now one level. It's.
I hated the kid.
It appeases people like you who wanted satisfaction, right?
Yeah.
The whole like 1,000 whores would not give me the same satisfaction as watching your bastard die moment. Tyrion said that. He goes, "Watching your son gave me satisfaction in a way that 1,000 lying whores couldn't." Right, but that to me is one of the worst parts of Game of Thrones. It normalizes violence.
We were okay with Joffrey dying.
No, I wasn't. No? I thought I'm not okay. I'm not saying that they shouldn't die. I'm saying the way it's depicted, in which the sensationalization and normalization of the violence is used as a shock effect. Same thing with the Shireen death. Like they could have easily ended it with the feet shaking. The dangling, that in itself is unnerving.
Mm-hmm.
But then they cut to his face,
and
they stay extra long. Do you notice that it's like they just wait till it gets uncomfortable?
That's true. And then we made the comment about it, right? And then you pointed out that they showed the rest of the people that were hanging, but Ollie was still in the front of that line.
Why show Ollie first, and why focus on Ollie, not Alistair? Let's say,
because he's a little fucker.
That's what I'm saying, though. To me, that's bad writing.
There's also something very perverse about it.
He was the traitor.
It's very bad writing.
Believe me, I hated Ollie too. I didn't like Ollie either, but I didn't need to.
But then you add that, because it's not a singular moment. Mm-hmm. Add that onto the fact that Ramsay has now ended up with Rickon.
Yeah,
this makes absolutely no sense to me. Right, this is one of those weird moments where I'm like, why are they making Ramsay into a supervillain?
Yeah.
Right? He has plot armor. Have you ever noticed that? Mm-hmm. Everything just works out for him.
Yeah.
He could take 20 men and destroy Stannis Baratheon's army. Stannis Baratheon, who's a brilliant military strategist.
Who nearly fucking won in the Battle of Blackwater.
He's considered a brilliant military strategist versus Ramsay, who has no military strategy. Mm-hmm. He's just a brute. He's not even a good fighter. They remark that he has absolutely zero skill in fighting. He just happens to be a brute.
Yeah.
But plot armor and for no other reason, they said, Rickon is going to end up in Ramsay's hands.
Then the Umbers gave him up too?
Which makes it even more bizarre. Now, this is a lose-lose, right? So the Umbers are one of the most... I understand the Umbers can be difficult, right? The Umbers are rebellious people.
Uh-huh.
But once they're loyal, they're fiercely fucking loyal. That's the whole point of the North. Mm-hmm. Is the North... There's this scene, remember... when they name Robb Stark king.
Yeah.
Who does it? Great John Umber does.
Uh-huh.
He goes, this is what I have to say to these two kings in the North. And he spits. And he goes, what do I care about about these southern lords? What do they know of the Wolf's Wood or the old ways? Even their gods are funny. Like, they point that out.
Yeah.
He goes, the only king that I would kneel to is the king right there. King of the North, and he names Robb Stark king.
Yeah.
And that's very clear because only they respect the Starks because the Starks are one of them.
Yeah.
They know the old ways. They keep the old, like, the one of the house mottos in addition to is ours is the old way.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's because the Starks are different. And so the North is very loyal. So much so that there's this idea in the books, it's hinted at, that there is a great Northern conspiracy. This fat lord known as from House Manderly,
uh-huh,
says that the Mummers' farce is almost over. And the Boltons are going to get what's coming to them. Now, the Mummers' farce means us playing the game, us faking it, uh-huh, right? So there's this very clear indication that the North's about to fuck up the Boltons. The show has been hinting at it also.
Yeah.
The North remembers. So having the Umbers turn over Rickon is either a really ham-fisted attempt at doing the Northern conspiracy. Uh-huh. They're going to have the Umbers turn on the Boltons and fuck everything up and make Rickon Stark, Lord of Winterfell, in which case, I get it, they're doing the Northern conspiracy, but how ham-fisted is that?
Yeah, there's really no finesse in there at all.
Out of the blue, we've decided to bring Rickon back after years of hanging out with the Umbers. He's been with the Umbers for 2 years, now they suddenly decide to bring him back?
Yeah.
Like, completely stupid move, right? Secondly, it's like, again, they planned him over to Ramsay. It's a bizarre, it's a weird way of doing it.
Yeah, and they killed Shaggy Dog.
If they don't do it, though, and this is why I think you saw the head of Shaggy Dog, the dire wolf.
Uh-huh.
You're not faking it if you've killed off the Stark's dire wolf.
Yeah.
Right? If they are legitimately handing over Rickon, then that shows you, that's even worse writing.
Yeah, because then they're like, we need to maintain this, like, sadistic.
In order to be sadistic and keep you on your toes, we're going to torture another kid.
God damn it.
So, and not just that, another Stark.
Fucking
Stark. First, you have Sansa get raped, which is not in the books, in the most horrific fashion that completely eliminates her agency and her struggle and focuses and makes her nothing more than a prop for Theon.
Yeah.
But then you make Rickon a prop for the sadism of Ramsay.
Yeah.
Now maybe they can say, "Oh well, it's our justification to bring Rob South." I'm like, really?
Rob South?
John South.
Uh-huh.
Oh really? Because you need to torture another kid.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, maybe you betraying and him raping his sister or his half sister wasn't enough for him to actually go down there.
There is a leak, and this is why I fear that it's not going to be the Great Northern Conspiracy. A lot of people, I'm probably sure, are hoping for that.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure they are. I am hoping kind of a little bit for that. I don't think that's how it's going to go. And the reason I say that is because, you know, we've already, spoiler alert, but there was a leak last year that said there was a massive battle that's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be called it was jokingly called the Battle of the Bastards.
Uh-huh.
So that's an indication that it's Ramsay versus Jon Snow.
Okay.
And it was Ramsay with the Umbers and the Karstarks, that the Umbers stood with them.
Uh-huh.
And then
it was who? John and the Wildlings?
John and the Wildlings versus them.
John and the Wildlings.
Because you can see the banners of the Umbers. But what's worse is they said the two well-known characters were going to get flayed and burned alive.
Ugh.
Now that to me sounds like, based off this episode,
Asha and Rickon.
That he's going to flay and burn them alive. So again, we get torture porn. Jon Snow will win and kill Ramsay, and then we'll all feel satisfied. We'll all walk away and go, at least Ramsay died. And never mind that they normalized again violence against kids, violence against women, and they literally reduced children and women to nothing more than a plot device.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad writing.
Goddamn.
You can't just go,
goddamn,
we're stuck. David, we need to keep people's interests. Let's fuck up a Stark. That's not good writing.
Yeah.
That's not how good writing works.
But what's sad is that you really don't, I mean, this series has so many loyal followers and people who don't think of it that way that, I mean, obviously it's still incredibly successful.
It is. I don't think it's going to stand the test of time, though.
No? Yeah, like it's a phase. You mentioned that you, like, 10 years from now, people will look at this show and think it's shit. Yeah. Like,
it's going to be like a lot of other HBO shows. It's exciting. It's the thing to watch. But I think when we look back, we'll remember it as being pretty, we're not going to walk away satisfied. I know that. We're going to walk away frustrated.
Like the Sopranos?
Yeah. And we're going to, like Sopranos, Dexter, that kind of stuff.
Dexter was Showtime.
Whatever. Yeah, I'm talking about, but you know, the ending, cable channels, the way the ending was, like, people were unhappy with Dexter, right?
That's true.
We're going to walk away, and 5 years from now, we're not going to go, my God, that was an amazing show.
Yeah. Not like Breaking Bad.
It's kind of like Lost. You know how Lost, like, it was like, at the moment, people were like, they couldn't stop watching it. Once Lost was over, though, people turned on Lost immediately.
Yeah.
Like, people hate Lost. They think it's too confusing, unsatisfying, no answers giving. And that's, again, Lost is a prime example
of what happens Abrams.
When you do shitty writing and all deconstruction with no solid writing.
J.J. Abrams did that,
J.J.
Right?
Abrams did. He tried the deconstruction thing,
uh-huh,
right? He deconstructed everything. And then he couldn't put it back together, and it ended up being so. I remember going, I can't follow this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not gonna follow this.
It's
stupid.
Well, it's Game of Thrones, and it's annoying because what they do is they cut the episodes in like the little snippets of storylines.
Yep.
And it's like never enough for you to actually get anything satisfying out of it. So every episode almost feels like it's just, you might get it like a nugget of something that will like help you move things along.
Yeah.
But it really, like the Arya stuff, just it's her training. It's not like it's really anything. And then Samuel Tarly and Gilly on the ship, it was just him throwing up into a bucket.
Yeah.
You know? You know,
part of this is the difficulty of translating it into the medium of television.
Right? Yeah.
You can do that in a book.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a lot of characters in the book, and he does, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In the show, you have to, and this is the show more characters cutting in the fat. Yeah, exactly.
Like Lady Stoneheart.
This is the show cutting the fat.
Yeah.
But it's not doing it successfully.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So,
like, your reaction to Ollie to me is an example of what Game of Thrones is doing wrong. When you're cheering the death of a child, right?
Fuck that kid.
The show has normalized violence.
I also cheer the death of Joffrey, too.
You know what I mean?
Fuck that kid, too.
That's horrific. To me, that shows me that Game of Thrones is not deconstructing, not critiquing, not questioning, not even creating realism.
Hey, but I cheered. But
it's perpetuating a type of
violence. Shock valuing people into watching it.
I cheered when Hermione punched Draco Malfoy. Does that make me like?
Yeah, but see, that's different.
It's a child punching a child.
It's a child punching a child. It's also different because it's a woman punching a guy, right? So it's a moment of role reversal. The bully gets punched, right? It's something entirely different. And I'm not saying these characters shouldn't die. Yeah. The whole point of this is realism. I get that, right? But I'm saying there's a way of handling these things, right? Zooming in on Ollie's face and waiting it just an extra bit longer, both for satisfaction and to make you uncomfortable, is not how you do it.
Yeah.
So having Rickon show up at Winterfell with no explanation, no justification, killing off another animal just because you want to make Ramsay look scary, and everyone to end the episode going, oh no, not Rickon. That's not good writing.
Yeah.
It's
standard, like, superhero, comic book superhero villainy. Exactly. Like super villainy.
Somehow
the
villain kind of, everything goes as wet.
Yeah.
It's also like, you know, when that writer doesn't know what to do, what do? Cliffhanger. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's little like shortcuts all writers know about. And you can literally like this, I could teach a course, film and media course off of Game of Thrones using cheap shortcuts in order to keep us frustrated, angry, and talking about it. Here we are talking about it. But they are cheap shortcuts that will last for a short period of time. When the show ends, we will all walk away going, I don't feel good with that show. I didn't walk away satisfied. And we're all going to go, yeah, that was kind of a lame show.
Yeah, it was good.
But the first season is when it was good. Second season was like, all right. Third is when it lost me.
What are you talking about, bro? I loved fourth season was my favorite season.
Because Oberon?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. He's like one guy that was great. The story arc, though, was bad. I thought after season two, it started to just go downhill, and it's been degrading ever since. It's not lasting. And this is, I think, how we're going to walk away from it. We're going to go, oh, yeah, it was exciting at the time. But we're going to walk back and go, yeah, that was really a waste. It's not going to make its mark. In fact, I think
it's already made its mark.
I think the impact it's going to have on fantasy is going to be the negative.
Like people are going to stop doing
shit. No, I don't think
that's people are going to oversaturate it with this bullshit that they do, and it's because it makes money.
Bingo.
Yeah.
You're going to have the mainstreaming of fantasy and the use of cheap tactics like this versus what fantasy should be. Now, they're kind of hinting at certain stuff on the show that I'm happy they're doing. I'm not saying it's all bad. The most controversial things that Game of Thrones is doing is two things, and we've talked about this. Magic and the gods, right?
Yeah,
I think to me that's way more subversive than realistic death. Main characters have been killed before in fantasy. Fantasy has been grim for a long time.
Yeah, what's his face down? Right? Sean Bean died in Lord of the Rings.
All the post-Cold War, the Cold War era fantasy.
His name Boromir?
It's fucking dark. Yeah. They fucking killed Boromir off in even Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, with like fucking 25 like arrows too.
Exactly. 11.
Yeah.
Or 9. Was it 9 or 11? Do you remember?
Hey, you would guess 9 or 11.
The second thing that it's doing is it's playing off of our relationship with history. Game of Thrones is doing this fantastically. Now, the reason it's doing this is two things. Now, this is evidence more than anything else that George R. Martin at the end of the day is trying to deconstruct
fantasy?
Lord of the Rings.
Uh-huh. Oh.
right? Yeah, fantasy is really kind of birthed with Lord of the Rings. It existed before.
Yeah.
Right? But Lord of the Rings in particular.
Okay.
Not because he doesn't have elves or anything. He does. He has children of the forest. Not because of that. Not because it's not...
There's that leaf girl.
Yeah, it's not because it's not high fantasy. It's not doing that. There are two things in Lord of the Rings that people almost always miss.
Which is?
One is the role of magic.
Okay. Mm.
In one of his letters, J.R.R. Tolkien... mentions, people asked him about magic, because magic in the Tolkien world is very frustrating. In fact, it's so frustrating that all fantasy afterwards creates systems of magic. They D&D magic, because we don't understand how magic works in Lord of the Rings. We don't, right?
Yeah.
It's a mysterious force.
Why aren't the fucking eagles coming?
Even though you have spells, and you have enchantments, and you have light, and you have fireballs, and things like that.
And that you shall not pass.
Magic is this kind of weird, subtle, worldly force. Think about it. The wizards aren't wizards. What are they? They're Istari. They're angels. They're archangels that have manifested into human form.
What'd you call them?
Istari.
Istari.
What is that?
That's what they're called. That's what they are.
In what language?
That in the Tolkien.
Tolkien language?
They're called Istari.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The Istari are, and that's Tolkien. They asked him about, they're like, well, what is this magic system? He goes, it's magic to people who don't understand it. This is from the point of view of hobbits and humans.
Okay.
They see this as magic in the same way that someone today would look at some. If we took a flashlight to the medieval world, they would think of it as magic.
He's a witch. Yeah.
Now, that is implicit in it. He's never explained. He's never explores it. But it's kind of a nugget that remains there. The idea that magic may be something that it's a natural force or something that we don't understand. That it's not what we think of as magic, as Harry Potter waving wands.
Yeah, or like spells. Floating all over the place. Right. Yeah.
Because Gandalf's great. What is Saruman's greatest power? Does anyone remember?
Making the fucking people?
What's his greatest power? They even talk about after he's defeated, it's like he's still dangerous because he has this.
Saruman?
Saruman.
Not Saruman.
His voice. The voice of Saruman, because he can convince and compel you.
Oh.
What is Gandalf's greatest power?
His wiseness.
No.
Wisdom. I said wiseness.
The secret ring. His ability to motivate leadership.
Huh.
And heroism. Mm. Real magic and power is more subtle in Lord of the Rings.
That's true. We actually mentioned that too, because we always joke about the fact that all Gandalf did was turn the flashlight on and the staff.
Right. That's an overt sign of his power. But his real power is this kind of something.
Yeah, it's like he's a mover. He moves the events in order for things to happen.
Oh, yeah, he started a quest.
This is what we see in Game of Thrones. That's what Game of Thrones is deconstructing, is the role of magic in the world. Magic is the shadow babies and dragons, but it's also being able to view past events.
Yeah.
Bran has possibly the ability to change the past or have some influence on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole idea of Winds of Winter may be tied to the idea that they hear his voice on the winds. Now, the show doesn't do a good job of connecting this to the Weirwood trees.
What now?
The Weirwood trees, the old gods, the tree faces.
Okay.
In the books, he can only use the trees to see. Now, what does that tell you about the gods? Who are the old gods?
Nature.
It's Bran.
Bran? Oh.
Yeah.
People talk about someone watching them from the old gods watching
from
the tree.
Oh, yeah, but it's actually Bran from the future. But it's Bran
from the future looking into the past.
Yeah, and then you'll,
possibly. Now, I'm not 100% sure, but that's what he's hinting at, right? We know this because when in the show even, when he shouted, Lord Stark turned around.
He actually noted,
There's a fan theory, for example, that King Aerys Targaryen, the Mad King, goes mad because Bran Stark does some accidental shit. He starts to yell to try to stop Aerys Targaryen from doing things. Aerys doesn't hear. You can't hear Bran.
Yeah.
But there's some type of something, right?
Yeah.
And that makes him hear whispers and he goes crazy. He becomes the Mad King. That he finds that the reason Jon Snow finds Ghost is because Bran whispers and he turns around and he sees Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
The other pulp. Yeah. The pup. There's even a theory that Hodor may be a result of Bran. Because remember, we see that Hodor
Willis
can
talk.
Willis can speak. Something happens to him. Now, it could be that this is all bullshit and it's all speculation. But he's playing with magic and the gods in a way that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Jon Snow comes back and what does he say he saw?
Nothing.
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 Yeah.
Right? What if all the gods were just people mythologizing magic?
Yeah, it's like they just couldn't explain it, so right. They had to give it to.
So the Red Priestesses are talking about fire and all that shit. All they're doing is just using that because they have this power. They use this. They attribute this power to something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. What if they see visions because they see visions, not because God is sending?
Yeah. What if they're just built that way?
Yeah.
It's an interesting idea.
Right. Or what if the old gods are nothing more than Bran or the Three-Eyed Raven or one of these other green seers just looking out from a tree?
Yeah.
So this is one of the things that he's deconstructing, right, is magic. The second most controversial thing that he's really, like, these are the interventions I see him making, is the role of history. Because Game of Thrones is, all fantasy is fictional history.
True.
And what he does is he plays with the idea of how things are remembered versus how they actually went down, how legends are created.
Yeah.
And Lord of the Rings does the exact same thing. Lord of the Rings is filled with what? Legend. Every fucking sword has a story. This is Glamdring. This is that. Right? Mm. Everything has a story.
Sting.
He plays, George R. Martin Stinger. Plays with that. He goes, it has a story. There's a whole world. He even wrote a book called The World of Ice and Fire. Right?
Yeah.
Where he pretends to be a maester writing the history of Westeros.
Okay.
But what happens with history? History is told from perspectives.
Yes.
History is lies. History is told
by the white man.
Yeah, it's told by the white man. We talk about the five. What about the history of the Andals? What about, this is all the history of the Andals, but what of the history of the first men? The people who lived there before the Andals showed up. What about the history of the children of the forest? Yeah. What's their perspective on these fucking white dudes walking around on their land?
Word.
You see what I'm saying? So I think these are the more interesting things that Game of Thrones is doing, more so than killing fucking Robb Stark, Ned Stark, raping Sansa, putting Rick on torture. Like this other stuff that the show is doing is completely distracting from what I think it really could be doing. And I think it's one, a result of the market.
Yeah. Right?
If it's a market-driven show, you want to make it sensational, right? Yeah, ratings are important. Two, that sells, right? Sex sells. I mean, Game of Thrones. People actually talked about Game of Thrones' intervention with sex position. Have you heard about this?
No.
The exposition is given during a sex scene or while nudity is present. That was that's an invented term for Game of Thrones.
How, sexposition.
Sexposition. Exposition given during a sex scene, explaining things. How fucked up is that? That's the intervention, not the thing that George R. R. Martin really is doing, which is way more interesting. And the second thing is, I think they're condescending to their audience. They think that we wouldn't find political intrigue interesting. Hello, House of Cards.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to torture.
It's all like gratuitous.
You don't need to torture Rickon Stark for us to find the intrigue interesting.
True.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But it shows the weakness of the writing.
Yeah.
But I also think that, you know, they feel like, well, we did these seasons mm-hmm. with the torture and with the torture porn and with all that other stuff, and now that it's without Martin's books to kind of keep like a certain base on,
yeah,
they're kind of going a little wildly on their own, and it's not being wrangled anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing a lot more of this kind of, all right, well, we're just going to put jump scares in here. We're going to make all this other stuff.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so it's like they're losing. They no longer have the literary base to keep them going on that on that path anymore.
And I mean, as much as I rant and rave, I actually don't give a shit that much. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not that invested in the show.
Yeah.
In fact, more often than not, when people talk about how shitty the show is, I go, you do realize these people wrote X-Men Wolverine Origins.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that explains everything to me. I go, the people who are capable of that.
Yeah.
Right? Writing your show.
Yeah. What's so I just kind of go, it is what it is, right?
Well, you know, I mean, they also tried to adapt a book and characters into a show for a movie format.
Yeah.
Completely fucked it up.
Yeah.
So it stands to reason that without Martin's, you know, like kind of grip on things, they're gonna let
they're gonna go down. They're gonna walk away with buckets of money, but they're gonna go down as some of the worst showrunners of all time. They are really bad writers. Without George R. Martin, they're shit writers. George R. Martin is barely a good writer. Let's be real. But I think
you're like a literary elitist.
I'm not an elitist, but I'll call it out as it is.
So how would you feel if all of a sudden, like one episode, they're like, so Jon Snow's mouth shut or something.
I literally look at you. And we have a moment. I think me and you would have a moment. Yeah. We go, it is what it is. We've seen this before, V. You know, literally, I remember that moment. Right, and you remember how frustrated you were?
I was. Because
you
pissed.
You literally squirmed in the movie. I remember this because we watched it together.
Yeah.
We watched the movie together. I remember him like physically squirming at how uncomfortable it made him to see. And then the line of "they finally got you to shut up" or whatever.
Oh god!
Like, I remember him like physically squirming, and I went, "Wow, these people are really bad writers."
He's mad.
Good reason.
So pissed.
It just shows you that they're not good writers. Right?
Well, his name, they call him the Merc with the Mouth.
look what you started. Look what you done started.
But good point, right?
Yeah.
They could tell that these people don't actually pay attention to the source material. They just use cheap shortcuts. That's a shock reveal, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's Wade Wilson, but his mouth sewn shut and all that, right? That's a shock. They went with that rather than going, who's Deadpool?
I'm going to go home and watch Deadpool tonight. Deadpool's honestly like top 3 Marvel movie.
I'd say
ever made.
Yeah, yeah.
But I give a number 1 to Winter Soldier.
You think Winter Soldier is better than Deadpool?
I like the story of
you? What about you?
I like Deadpool more.
You like Deadpool? See, I go 1.
You know, I've never seen Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I know. You're not a fan of Captain America. No, nope. You hate Americans.
Number 1
hate Americans.
Number 1 for me was Winter Soldier. Number 2 was Deadpool. 3 was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which in my opinion is actually one of the shittiest of the.
So I liked Winter Soldier was my favorite in terms of MCU. But Deadpool's not MCU. So
yeah, okay, but I mean, like Marvel.
When it comes to like comic movies, like
Marvel
yeah,
movies.
I don't know. I think I like Civil War more than Winter Soldier now. But
my favorite is
Iron Man,
Hellboy, Golden Army.
That's a Marvel movie?
No,
that's actually DC Vertigo.
It's old, but
it's nothing to do with anything.
Okay. So yeah, I think Civil War for me was more of a fun watch than Winter Soldier was. I just liked.
Civil War is just Avengers light.
I guess.
Yeah, a lot of people consider that because there are a lot of Avengers in it.
But there was still more backstory to it. I think.
I mean, they put emphasis on Captain America, obviously, but it was a heavily feature, right? Yeah. Heavily ensembled cast features.
So they're doing more ensembles.
Yeah.
That seems to be the route that they're going
on. Look, you hate Captain America, but you're missing out. Minus the first Avenger, which was Captain America, the first Captain America.
Which really wasn't a bad movie.
Yeah, it's just kind
of. I saw it.
Yeah.
I saw that one.
Okay. So you saw the worst of the three.
It's a shitty ass movie.
Winter Soldier and Civil War
was really
were
good.
Great.
It's a promotion of steroids.
They were great movies. I think as far as like storytelling.
My issue with things Civil like War that, is I don't quite get the shift. Now maybe it's because in the comic books, as V can attest as our comic book experts, the issue is registration versus non-registration.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't think we talked about this before, and you proposed the idea that. Go ahead. Why do you think it's not registration versus not?
Okay, so in the situation with registration that's in the comic books, it makes a little bit more sense because one of the issues is things about secret identities.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, right? It's this idea that if you register with the government, and this I think maybe Daredevil made this argument.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of these heroes don't want to be known for their private lives.
Yeah.
You have it on a database somewhere. The problem is guys like Dr. Doom or Dr. Arctus break out of the prison every single week and are able to hack into these systems anytime that they want.
Yeah.
You know, so why are we making it so the people who choose to stay private can no longer be private anymore?
Right.
You know?
And also there are they're mutants. Now the MCU isn't dealing with mutants yet.
No.
Not a lot. So I understand why they didn't do the register because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
What I don't get though is like I get Captain America's non-registration stance.
Mm-hmm.
He is against, because that's discriminatory, mm-hmm. right? He's against creating two classes of citizens.
Yeah.
I don't understand his stance against oversight.
Because he says, what if we need to be somewhere, but we can't because it's not in the other person's interest?
I get his distrust. Look, he's not pro-government. He never has been. And that's the good thing about Captain America, right? Uh-huh. He's not that form of Americanism. But he's also not a libertarian.
No.
In opposing oversight, he's literally promoting an idea that there are two classes of citizens. There are the average person who has to obey the laws, and then there's me, who's superhuman and doesn't have to obey the law. Whose judgment is more important? A international body? Nope. My trust, my judgment, and my judgment alone. It's a very America stance, but it's a weird... That's the thing about Captain America. He represents the ideal of America, not the libertarian reality of America.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't get his like stance on oversight. I agree about, you know me, I'm anti more government, more bureaucracy. I am. I get where he's coming from. Agendas, politics, people's special interest. But he's also saying the international body doesn't have any laws
because,
to apply to me.
Because you didn't watch Winter Soldier. In Winter Soldier, Hydra infiltrated fucking everything.
Yeah, but that's another example of what I'm talking about. Why does S.H.I.E.L.D. exist?
To battle Hydra?
No. To protect S.H.I.E.L.D. exists to violate other people's rights, to spy on the world, to act as world police, so that the other guys don't do it. You see what I'm saying? It's a very selective argument. It's an argument of the other person shouldn't do that, so I'm going to do it. So the laws don't apply to Captain America, but the laws apply to the bad guys?
As far as what? What do you mean?
He thinks of himself as technically above the law.
So think about it. It's almost, and believe me, don't be upset at me with this comparison, but it's a lot of it has to do with like Batman.
Yeah.
In the sense that Batman technically also thinks that he's above the law.
Exactly.
It just so happens that he happens to be on the side of the law. So
Joker.
Yeah. So he's basically doing this. He's doing vigilantism, right? It just so happens that his vigilantism works in our favor as the good guys, quote unquote. Right.
That's
See, now that, to me, Stark has always been the vigilante, right? Mm-hmm. In the MCU.
Yeah.
In the MCU. He's the one that hacks into S.H.I.E.L.D. He's the one. But the thing about Captain America is he's supposed to be the moral compass.
Yeah.
But here he's saying the moral thing to do is to have a select, unique, ubermensch group of people.
you gotta take it there, bro.
The Uber, he is. That's what he's. That's the argument.
Yeah.
He's making the argument of the ubermensch that morality, his morality, is different from society's morality.
It's not his morality. It's like saving people. Like if someone's going around killing people.
But that is his morality, though. That's him believing that he can choose.
He doesn't have. I understand his idea of saying they shouldn't be able to send me somewhere.
Yeah.
But he's also, in rejecting that, he's also rejecting that there is accountability for what I've done. Dude, he was involved in Avengers Ultron. He was involved in Avengers in New York, both of which ended up costing thousands of lives, at least. Yes, he saved people, but don't you think there should be accountability?
For what he did? What did he do?
I'm not saying
he went to protect people.
Accountability doesn't mean you're a bad guy. Accountability means that at some point there needs to be a reckoning, a sitting down and going, okay, how do we think about this? How do we deal with this? How do we avoid this in the future? He's saying no. He's saying there is no oversight. I determine what's right or what's wrong.
I don't think that's what he's saying. He was okay. He was okay with that. He was about to sign the thing.
Even, I mean, I'm pretty sure at one point, even War Machine goes, this is the UN, right? Doesn't he say that at one point?
Yeah.
Right? That's an important point he's making. That's not a throwaway line. No.
Captain America goes to sign the thing.
Okay.
Right? He goes to sign the thing, and then he hears that they're like fucking holding like...
because basically what happens is Wanda Maximoff is... Okay, so you haven't seen the movie, so I gotta explain it to you real quick. Okay. Yeah. So it actually starts in Wakanda.
Not Wakanda. Nigeria.
Is it Nigeria? Lagos. Oh, excuse me. It's Lagos. Yeah, excuse me. It starts in Lagos, and they're fighting Crossbones and like this, I guess, mercenary group.
Yeah.
Right? And essentially, they're fighting in the streets, doing all this stuff, and then Crossbones decides that he's going to let off a bomb vest.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, Maximoff contains the blast and kind of shoots it upwards, right? Mm-hmm. But she releases it too early, and it destroys the top of a building, killing a bunch of people.
Yeah,
it
killed like 10 people.
Yeah. Now it caused. Then this is kind of what caused the big incident, the international incident, where like they're absolutely want oversight now.
Because the king of Wakanda, T'Chaka, says you killed the Wakandans because they were there to visit Nigeria, and you killed.
Can you not?
What? That's the Wakandan accent.
But this is a perfect example
of me being racist.
These are people who don't have all control over their power all the time, but they shouldn't have oversight.
But here's the thing.
The other thing I don't get is the Winter Soldier thing, right? The thing I don't understand is that why is he so against Winter Soldier be brought up? I get his personal loyalty. I get that he doesn't want Winter Soldier to get killed. I don't want Bucky to get killed. But I don't understand why he's so Why can't they bring in Bucky so they can start working on his ass? Why is he constantly freeing Bucky?
Well, no.
The dude's a murderer.
No, he found out that it wasn't Bucky that did it.
Yeah, but Bucky's still a brainwashed weapon of mass destruction.
All right,
yeah.
Before we get too far into that, we have to finish why. Yeah,
why didn't he sign?
So essentially, all this shit happened, and Wanda is back at the Avengers Tower or whatever it is, and Stark tells Vision to not let her leave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's basically keeping her prisoner in the house. And that's what kind of starts the shit here about him, about Cap not signing. Is like, because he's imprisoning people on his own team.
Yeah, that was his thing. He was about to sign.
Yeah, but Vision's for it. Vision's the ultimate good guy.
No, yeah. Vision's reasoning was because now that there are more enhanced people, he kept saying, because there are more enhanced people, the amount of violence has grown.
Yeah, he actually made a good point. He goes, we showed up doing all these things. And of course, by naturally doing that, we've challenged everything with that much power to come at
this
us.
This is the guy who can raise the hammer of Thor. That means he's worthy.
Yeah. So
he's on the side of right.
But he was...
I'm right.
Captain America was going to sign until he found out that fucking Tony Stark was imprisoning Wanda. He was just like, what is this? Like, you can't do these to these people. Like, you're basically imprisoning, you're keeping us captive. Like, I don't want to be held captive, you know, and then I can't do what I want. Like, if I want to go out and take a run, I can't run. You're going to make me sit at home and do nothing? Fuck you, slave master.
I can't do what I want is his moral argument.
Do what I want as in, like, I want to go and get a burger. I want to go run around DC 85
times.
So
you're telling me that he can't sacrifice doing what he wants until they at least have some type of legal apparatus to figure out what's going on.
His freedom.
His do what I want is more important than the fact that people have been killed.
His freedom.
Oh, seriously, I'm not getting it. People died, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're telling me that he can't just go, let's figure it out. And then afterwards I can go get a burger, go run, and do whatever I want. But let's first figure out. You're telling me he can't do that. That's the Übermensch. One rule for me, one rule for everyone else.
How's that one rule for everyone else?
If this was someone else.
He didn't kill anybody.
But his team did.
So? Him.
That doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. Look, if someone else had done this,
mm-hmm.
had it been anyone else, would Captain America bring that person to justice? Not someone on his team, not a friend of his, but some vigilante out there who just caused the death of dozens of civilians. Would Captain America bring that person to justice?
No, because he didn't go after Punisher and they're part of the same universe.
No, I'm just saying, would he, yes or no?
No, because he didn't go after Punisher and they're part of the same universe.
You're telling me that
Your theory is flawed. You're telling me
that Captain America would allow people to run rampant killing people?
He wouldn't. If he saw it, he would be there to stop it.
So you stop it.
But he didn't go after it.
But he brings, then what's the purpose of bringing people to justice?
It's like cosmic threats. That he's worried about. He's not worried about your Joe Schmo regular.
He's a man with a shield. Cosmic what?
Like these guys.
His main enemy was Red Skull and the Nazis.
Yeah. He saved us from the Nazis.
But his ideology of two different people comes rooted in the idea of the quote unquote Superman.
Man,
his morality is somehow we have to trust the fact that
because
he's more moral than the average.
That's the way the movie played it, but that's not how what Captain.
That's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. I'm not sure this is the interpretation. I get his anti-registration stance,
but the movie wasn't supposed to be Civil War. You know that, right? It was supposed to be Captain America 3, and him and Bucky, trying to
Yeah, but I'm saying that this interpretation of Captain America doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, this is all fucking Robert Downey Jr.'s fault. Okay,
this is also why I prefer X-Men versus Avengers stuff. The X-Men for me are way more compelling. The idea of difference, racial minorities, sexual minorities,
but their movies aren't
hate, othering, state power, hate groups. That stuff is way more interesting.
But their movies aren't as good.
And how we define, we're American and you're a mutant. Like, that to me is interesting. I think that's way more compelling.
But their movies aren't as good.
I'm just saying.
It's let's be real. The Marvel Cinematic Universe has better movies than the X-Men movies.
I don't know about that.
Would you say Days of Future Past?
I liked X-Men Origins.
You mean First Class? Stop saying Origins. Whatever. Wolverine.
First Class. I like First Class. More than the Avengers movies.
Did you?
Yeah, the Avengers movies.
I preferred just, First Class over Avengers.
Avengers movies just kind of happy go lucky camp.
Over like Captain America, Iron Man, and any of those standalone.
Iron Man is another one of those interesting because you've mentioned this. Iron Man is not Tony Stark. It's not Robert Downey Jr.'s interpretation of
Tony. Yeah, yeah, no. Tony Stark in the comic books is really not.
It's darker.
Yeah, in actuality, it's they tortured. Kind of they gave Tony Stark more Robert Downey Jr. qualities in the writing now because he's so iconic in that.
I mean, Robert Downey Jr. launched MCU.
Yes,
he made it what it is.
Yes,
but his Tony Stark is a lighter.
Yeah, he's like this sort of arrogant. Yeah.
Wait, did
whereas Tony Stark's a little bit more of a tortured soul.
He's a drunk. He's a like serious alcoholic.
Did Iron Man come out before Ang Lee's Incredible Hulk movie?
I'm not sure who came which.
I think that one came out first because then the Edward Norton one was afterwards.
Three. Yeah, yeah, because the one with Eric Bana was, I think, was before Iron Man, the first Iron Man.
It bombed though.
Yeah. It was horrible.
All the Hulks did bad except.
Hulk is not a good standalone character in my opinion.
No. It just doesn't work. It's like, it's too much.
You have to, you know, you release the Hulk, right? But you don't give him his own storyline. You damn sure don't give him a love.
So interest. The Hulk going wild, right?
That's one of the other reasons why they wanted oversight because no one could find Thor or Incredible.
So. Obviously, there was the Thor Buster, Hulk Buster armor last time.
Veronica?
Right, Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America was cool with that. So that he believes that there should be checks.
No, he didn't know.
There should be checks on people.
That
like
was between Bruce Banner and Tony Stark. They worked on it themselves. I don't think anyone else knew about that.
I think that's part of the Avengers. That was the backup plan to if Strokey McStroke
they didn't
no, stroke down the
they never
stroke down the Hulk.
They never had they never stroke said the anything.
That's what it was, wasn't it? She stroked the Hulk and he calmed down. It released tension.
It seemed like it
released some pressure. Backed up, pent up pressure.
It seemed like that was only Banner and Stark. That was their thing.
That's part of S.H.I.E.L.D., though, too. Part of the Avengers team.
But I don't know if anyone else knew besides Banner and Stark, because they worked on it.
I don't think so. I think they all knew about that.
I will say, I appreciate, number one, the way that the movie ended, because it didn't get tied up in a bow like a lot of the movies do. It
ends up horribly, right?
Yeah, which is actually also the villain in the movie does not really take center stage.
Baron Zemo?
Yeah. Well, it's like he's not Baron Zemo in this one. He's Helmut Zemo.
Yeah.
And he's not a super. He's a regular guy who is so consumed by revenge.
Kind of a stupid.
He's from Sokovia.
He's not a very compelling character.
No, here's the thing. This guy is so dope that this one guy was so pissed off for the past couple of years that he learned how to make the fucking Avengers hate each other and nearly destroyed the Avengers without any like Infinity Stones or anything like that.
Yeah, he got them just to fight one another. Yeah.
Did they even clarify what the fuck Wanda's powers are?
Who's?
Wanda's.
No.
She basically, it's like.
Because she's got the hypnosis and vision stuff. She's got the telekinesis shit.
She pretty much just used telekinesis in this one. She was maybe like. What happened to her mind reading
stuff?
Shit.
Mind control stuff? I don't know. That didn't
bring mind reading, mind control.
And also, I'm not sure if you, Diz, I'm not sure. Was she supposed to have an accent in this?
Yeah, it was on and off.
Okay, yeah, because the accent was just. It was literally turning on and off like crazy.
Yeah, but the accents last time were pretty bad. Too.
She's gorgeous, but just
don't do the accent.
Just don't do the
accent. It's like Peter Baelish, Littlefinger's accent.
Yeah.
Season one, he's got an Irish accent.
Yeah.
By season four, he's got the Batman voice.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen this? Look up Littlefinger accents. It's like literally he changes. He goes from an Irish accent first season, all the season, he's got a normal voice with an Irish accent. All of a sudden, he's like. Chaos is a ladder. It's like, wait, when did you become Bane and Batman's love child?
So this is interesting too. So you notice certain parts of the movie that really they didn't follow much of the comic book.
Okay,
but they took parts of the actual Civil War story arc and they try to kind of mix it in with the movie,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was interesting. There's a scene in there where you see Captain America and Iron Man and they're fighting at the very end, where like both their hands are raised and they're almost struggling between one another. That's an actual comic book cover, like a variant cover. That they did. Also, this whole thing with Black Widow kind of going double agent, where she's part of Stark's camp.
I hate her.
And at the end, she ends up helping Captain America.
I hate her.
Now, in this situation, in the comic books, it's actually Spider-Man who does the double agent thing. He starts pro-registration because Stark kind of convinces him and he's working with Stark. And he unmasks himself in public and says that he's Peter Parker and kind of this gesture to show that.
And then they kill Aunt May.
Yeah, well... Sorry. Not yet.
Nice.
Eventually, what happens is, Thor. This is where comic books get a little ridiculous, right? What happens is, Tony Stark creates a Thorbot from Thor's DNA, right? Mm. Comes down, and they're fighting, and then the Thorbot accidentally kills Goliath, who's a superhero, and then everyone goes silent, and everything gets crazy, and then Spider-Man goes, you know what? It's just not for me, and he decides to go over to Captain America's side.
Spider-Man's another one of those heroes that goes through a lot, though.
Yeah.
Because he's the everyman. He represents the everyman. He's a really compelling figure. He also suffers. He's like the figure that suffers. He loses Aunt May. He loses Uncle Ben. He loses Aunt May. He loses his first love.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I mention something here?
He dies a couple times.
Can I mention something to you guys? Now, you both know that I hate the Spider-Man with a passion, right? Like, I do not like that fucker.
I like him. I think he's a great superhero.
I would squash him like a bug if I ever saw him.
He's a fantastic superhero.
Shut up. Listen. But
this rendition, Stan Lee's favorite.
This rendition of the Spider-Man, I could not hate. I actually quite enjoyed.
He was very likable.
He was going around chasing the superheroes. You have the right to remain silent. Hey, have you guys ever watched that really old movie, Star Wars, where they...
He says Empire Strikes Back, where they kill that AT-AT thing. That's how... Because, Scott Lang learns how to use the suit to make himself giant. So it's like, rather than he can go tiny or can go giant now. So he's sitting there fighting off all these heroes, and then he's swinging around going, hey, have you seen that really old movie Empire Strikes Back where they like shoot the thing? And
it seems like a legit, like Spider-Man really is.
Yeah. Like it's like
snarky, funny, kind of eager.
You hear Rhodes yelling like, Tony, how old is this kid?
He's 15 in this movie, right?
Yeah, he's a high schooler.
He's 15, yeah. He's really young.
I really liked it.
But that's Spider-Man. The Amazing Spider-Man comes close. The Amazing Spider-Man is not Tony Parker. The Amazing Spider-Man is Spider-Man. When he's in his Spider-Man outfit.
Peter Parker, not Tony Parker.
Did I say Tony Parker? He's not Peter Parker.
Tony Parker's a basketball player, bro. Good for you.
Peter Parker is not this kind of weird emo skater guy.
Yeah, he's just like quirky, snarky kid.
He's a science nerd.
Yeah.
But he was like the Spider-Man that we see in Amazing Spider-Man is Spider-Man.
But if
he's quirky, he's sarcastic, he's kind of funny, he doesn't fucking shut up.
Even in this movie, like Peter Parker was like, he was like this nerd who'd go around like trash cans and get like old like DVD players and old like computers and like start working on them.
Yeah, that's Peter Parker.
I like them. Watch it for the Spider-Man.
He was a nice addition. I really enjoyed him. You can kind of tell they kind of fit him in there just to have him. Because Stark just goes, oh, let me meet this kid. I'm going to kind of wow him into...
It was pretty dope.
Because everyone's surprised that they got rid of Andrew Garfield. He did so well.
People hated Garfield.
I thought Garfield was perfect.
They really liked Spider-Man. People really just turned on that series.
Not Peter Parker.
People did not like that series.
Series also reminded me that Gwen Stacy...
It was better than Mary Jane.
Way better than Mary Jane.
Yeah, people did not like that.
Gwen Stacy loved Peter Parker for Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah. My
Mary Jane loved Spider-Man.
Now she's Spider-Gwen.
What? Oh, yeah.
In the comic book, she's Spider-Gwen.
She comes back?
Well, no, I think it's an alternate
universe.
It's an alternate universe. She's Spider-Gwen.
My friends who are like big Spider-Man fans hate those.
I liked it.
Dude, calm down.
What? I said my friends. I didn't say I didn't watch those
movies. Yeah, but your hate is like it spreads.
They hate
seriously those. And you manage and literally you talk more about Spider-Man than anyone else in this podcast.
I enjoyed this Spider-Man. I thought it was
Spider-Man.
Good. I like this kid as Spider-Man. I will watch the new Spider-Man movie with this kid in it.
Your Spider-Man is a gag that's no one that was not funny 16 episodes ago.
I will watch it.
So also with the death of Goliath of the Thorbot, I think we also see that kind of connection between what happens with Vision and War Machine, in the sense that it creates a big tension, and also creates a certain guilt within Tony Stark that's obviously boiled over.
So War Machine is fucked up.
Yeah. So what happens is Romanoff basically lets Captain America and Winter Soldier get on the plane to fly and to leave. War Machine and Iron Man go and follow the plane. Now Falcon is there, who is on Captain America's team, is going to try to intercept them. Now Vision looks up and fires a beam from his head, and Falcon basically kind of jukes it, and the beam hits War Machine's arc light. Mm-hmm. Now the problem is the arc light is the power source for the suit. So he basically goes dead and he just falls, and then both Stark and Falcon try to catch him, but they can't catch up with him. He falls to the ground and he gets all fucked up and he ends up being paralyzed.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, man. What if that actually hit fucking Falcon? He wasn't wearing a gigantic suit like that. He would have just died. They would have been okay with killing Falcon.
Yeah, who knows? Falcon, you know, we're not sure what's going
on. Tony Stark would have been okay with.
But killing. We talk about. They also talk about. It's like, has Vision, like, because he actually asked him, he's like, have you ever, like, have you ever missed before? You had any issues? Like, he's like, no, that was the first time I've ever miscalculated. I've distracted. Ever done anything. Like, yeah, he's like, he was distracted.
But isn't it they were kind of hinting at him and Wanda?
Yeah, because they eventually get married in the comics, right? And they also hint that when they're at the house too. Like, they build this really weird connection. And what I think is funny is that it's like Vision's attempting to be human. Yeah. Like, they're like, they
put
really,
sweaters on him.
Yeah, like, they give him like sweaters, or they give him like human clothing, but he's like this green and red robot. So it's like there's something that's really off-putting about it, but it's like it's him trying to learn, like, he's trying to learn how to cook.
Can't he project an image of himself to make himself look human?
I'm sure he could. I mean, the guy's got an Infinity Stone, for God's sakes.
Yeah, but he doesn't know how to use it yet. He's trying to learn it. That's what he said. He wants to learn it so it doesn't control him. He controls it. Yeah. That's what he says to Wanda.
And also the big part of Tony Stark's guilt. Yeah. The guilt of Tony Stark plays a huge role in this, because we saw that with... Because he's the one that creates Ultron.
Yeah.
You know, which is the big thing. But also... Because of that, and this is also in the Civil War comics. Now, in the comic books, they use this thing. It actually happens in Stanford, Connecticut,
yeah,
rather than in Lagos.
The reality show.
Yeah. So it's like, and it's Speedball, and I think the Young Avengers, or the New Warriors, or something like that.
New Warriors and Nitro.
Yeah, and then Nitro blows up, suicide bombs, right? And then it kills all these kids.
Kills 600 people, I think, and 60 of them were kids.
See, that makes sense for the registration, right? So they can't do this here. I'm still not on board with the whole one rule for the rest of the world, one rule for
they
me.
They only did it because they had to fucking do this stupid Civil War
just
movie.
Just pointing out that my arguments about Captain America were proven true in Civil War. Thank you very much. He is an egotistic, capitalistic...
And this was all done because of Robert Downey Jr.
Imperialistic.
How is he imperialistic?
You're just a hater. His fucking shield was colonized. This shield is stolen.
That's right. It's Howard Stark vibranium made it. From Wakanda.
Yeah.
Howard Stark made it.
Howard Stark is a fucking super capitalist.
Whatever, man. Pym told me to never trust the Stark.
I don't trust Stark either.
If you watched the movie, you would understood that.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
Who are you?
Damn it.
I don't believe in the Ubermensch.
I loved Ant-Man in that movie.
I don't believe
that. Ant-Man was fun. Spider-Man and Ant-Man were really just kind of inserted in the movie.
Yeah, Ant-Man is just, it's
Paul Rudd. But they were there to be kind of goofy, and they kind of added a certain level of levity to it.
It's Captain America. Hey, I know you too. You're great. But it's Captain America.
And, you know, they work. It was interesting. The final fight scene between the teams was great with them as an addition to it.
No one wins. Well, Iron Man's team wins, technically.
Yeah, because they lose Captain America and Winter Soldier to the airplane. So
I heard Black Panther was badass.
Black Panther was awesome.
T'Challa, son of T'Chaka.
The actor was amazing.
He's technically possessed by a panther god.
Well, they didn't mention that in the movie.
So how else do you think he runs so fast?
I don't know, bro.
Okay, his suit apparently is crazy in this one.
No, that's
not vibranium.
He's not Iron Man.
Yeah.
He's not Iron Man with a black suit. He's possessed by a god, and he's got brilliant science and technology.
But the Black Panther...
His ability, his agility, and his strength, and his speed are all from the god.
The Black Panther has protected Wakanda for thousands of years.
His whole suit is vibranium, right? It's a vibranium mesh.
Yeah.
Something like that, I don't know.
His claws are vibranium, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's fucking shit up.
There's like some like random like jungle music every time like you see him, and it's like...
Is it really? I don't remember that.
It's like the backdrop of it.
That's fucked up.
I hope that's not true.
Yeah, there is. Pay attention to the score when they show Black Panther. Like, you hear like
that's racist. As fuck.
You hear like random like African.
I can only imagine like what happens in Doctor Strange when he's in Tibet. It's all this like weird like
ding 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 ding.
With fucking
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton. The Tibetan accent.
Oh my
guys,
God.
You'll be proud of me. I yelled in the movie, like prior to the movie starting, when they showed the Doctor Strange like preview, she's not supposed to be a white woman. That's an Asian man, damn it. And then some other people were like, yeah.
I actually mentioned that too because I heard Full Theory. I'm all like, you know, everyone wants to go to Tibet to watch white people training kung fu.
Fucking white.
Cultural people. Appropriation.
It's also actually, you know, they, so the, I think it was the director had tweeted, like, we heard you, we understand that. The Asian community is upset and hurt, and this, and it's like, just want to let you know that I'm listening and I'm learning. And so this was something that tweets along those lines.
while you're listening,
yeah,
stop with the shitty representation of Muslims. Well, I got your attention.
Yeah. And then, of course, people on Twitter be like, well, the damage has already been done, motherfucker. You can't undo the movie. And then one of the writers went complete full fuckface mode on his Facebook, and he just started going off about how stupid it was about the representation shit and how... It's like how ridiculous it is because we need to break into the Chinese market and shit or some weird bull crap. Yeah.
I heard George Takei ripped him a new one, though.
Oh, Takei did, yeah.
Takei
yeah.
has a fantastic response.
Yeah.
Well, Marvel's Marvel. It is what it is. Yeah. I think we'll end it there. This was a really nerdy episode.
Word.
We went deep. We analyzed. We questioned.
Into nerdography.
We asked about Game of Thrones. Yes. We asked about Civil War.
Yes.
We'll just end it by saying Trump and Sanders won West Virginia.
Yes, West Virginia.
Where and they on that note, Diz, why don't you take us out?
You can find us on Facebook. Tell us, were you Team Cap, Team Ironman, at
Team Kill All the Superheroes?
Yeah, or that. Team Zemo. Do that Facebook.
Just Team Oversight.
Facebook.com/ Currently Nerdy. Go on there, like our page, write in our wall, send us some DMs, send us some cool links of what you think, you know, we should be watching and things like that. We're on the tweets at Currently Nerdy on Twitter. Hashtag of the week this week is hashtag CNCW. Currently Nerdy Civil War. Can we do that? Can we do that? Did we do that already? No, we'll do it this time.
That's fine. Just leave it. Yeah, just do that.
CNCW. Hashtag CNCW. Tell us what team you're on between Team V, Team Ali, and Team Diz. We're also on Instagram. Currently Nerdy on Instagram. Go on there, follow us, like our pictures, write some comments on our pictures, make V feel that he's special. We're on the Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. Go on there, follow us, reblog, write some notes, do all that good stuff that the Tumblr people do. New YouTube video will be out probably by the time this podcast is out. It's some thoughts about the Star Wars leak that we heard about, so check that out. And iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, por favor. I don't think we had a new rating since December.
Actually, I saw a recent one. I don't know how recent it was, but it was definitely not.
I saw one in December.
It was in December? It might have been. I don't know. Yeah.
Someone's husband watches us and yelled at Ali because he said something anti-white, but she still gave us 5 stars.
What did I say, anti-white?
I don't know. You always say something
anti-white. This is an ordinary classroom for me.
What's new?
But I used to. There's a friend of mine had a professor that would end every single one of her emails with "down the patriarchy must be destroyed." Every awesome. One of her emails ended with that, which is comes from the Roman Cato did it, right?
Yeah.
Cato the Elder goes, "Carthago delenda est, Carthage must be destroyed."
Yeah.
I saw a hashtag that said "ban straight people."
That's fucking hilarious. That's actually pretty funny.
Mm. Okay, and if you want to
contact gay agenda,
it's a gay agenda. If you want to contact us individually, you can. V, let them know how to get a hold of you.
Guys, you can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at vtran214. That's VYTRAN214. I will also be, for anyone from Raleigh, North Carolina, I will be at the Animazement 2016 Anime Convention at the T-Turtle booth. So come by and say hello if you happen to be around. Ali?
You can find me on my website, alialomi.com, or on Twitter at AAOLOMI. Diz?
Find me everywhere at Dizbulla, DIZBULLAH.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you.